Hello and welcome to The Wealth Show from CityWire. My name is Olivia Bibble and I'm here today with Travis Spence, head of ETF distribution across EMEA at JP Morgan Asset Management. Today we are speaking about how the uptake of ETFs in the UK has been lackluster compared to the US. So Travis, why does the UK hate ETFs? Why aren't professional investors buying them?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you, Olivia. So if we dial back a little bit, the growth in the ETF market is probably one of the most fascinating and exciting areas within the financial markets today. So this is an industry that's been growing roughly 25% per year for the last 20 years, and now sits at about $11 trillion in assets. So if you take that forward, the next 5 years, and essentially we've been seeing the market grow and double every 5 years. So by the end of 27, we probably are sitting at about $20 trillion. So massive growth rates. In Europe, it's no different. This has been roughly a 17-18% CAGR over the last 10 years in Europe. So we're seeing really good growth. In the UK, today, the UK market is the second largest market in Europe, and not by much, a couple of percentage points lower than Germany, which is the largest market. So we continue to see it growing, and we expect to see the UK market actually grow even a little bit faster than some of the other markets across Europe. So to your question, why is the take-up here maybe not as strong? Actually, the take-up here is strong. It's been very much led by the institutions. And I think on the retail side, we're definitely seeing more and more interest in ETFs. And I think with the success that we've seen in some of the other markets, interest is growing even more. However, there's some structural things that are holding the retail market, for example, from really taking on into ETFs. I think one is education, and the second is just the platforms here, which are very heavily intermediated, haven't quite got up to scratch in terms of enabling ETFs to be bought and sold as easily as in some of the other markets.
How do ETFs differ from open-ended funds?
So really, it's a really interesting point. And I think if you think about the advantages of ETFs and what's made them grow into this $11 trillion industry, it is it's transparency. So being able to see fully what you hold in a portfolio at any point in time. It's the ease of trading, which is a key enabler in many of the other markets. It's daily trading, and you can usually access these very, very easily. There's also price discovery. You know exactly how the ETF is trading, or the underlying market that you're investing in through an ETF is trading on a daily basis, and you're seeing that very, very transparently. And there's also a cost benefit. Generally, this has been a lower cost a way for especially retail investors to access different exposures within the market.
So you've mentioned retail investors might be interested in this structure. Do you think that it's unsuitable for professional investors?
No, absolutely not. I mean, professional investors have really been driving the ETF market, especially across Europe. And so, again, if you think about those benefits as a I'll break out maybe the types of institutional investors that have been driving the market. One is fund-to-fund managers, so wealth managers that are constructing portfolios of different underlying exposures. They often use ETFs as a way to build those portfolios. So the building blocks and having the transparency, having the ability to tactically trade in and out of those exposures on a real-time basis throughout the day is super important. I'll give you an example on the transparency side. During the banking crisis that we had in the middle of May, it was really important for investors to understand what was actually being held in the portfolios, certain banks that they would want to know whether it was in the portfolio or out of the portfolio. And through ETFs, all of these investors got real-time access to see. One of the considerations, let's say, in a mutual fund is that you generally are getting exposures at the end of the month. And so if you were looking middle of the month, you either had to wait until the end of the month to figure out what was in the portfolio, or maybe even a few days after that. So that was kind of restricting. So again, one of the benefits for the professional investors is the daily transparency of what's in the portfolio, they can then pull that back into their own risk management systems and see across an entire portfolio what all the different exposures and risk factors are. So ETFs become a really important tool, and that's been one of the reasons why adoption has grown so much from the professional investor community.
ETFs make up double the market share in the US compared to Europe. Why hasn't the European ETF market taken off in the same way as it has in the US?
So I think you are seeing a growth trajectory, which is, you're right, a little bit faster in the US. I think you have a lot more platforms that are easy to deal on, and that's been driving some of the retail demand in the US, or retail adoption in the US. But I think from an institutional investor side, we're actually seeing pretty similar trends across both. So there's been a little bit more of a head start in the US that I think has filtered its way throughout the investor ecosystem a little bit faster. But I think that's what is going to be really exciting about the UCITS market and across Europe is we're going to start to see more and more investors adopt in the ETF space. That's going to be one big area for growth. I think the second area, which is going to be really important now, is fixed income. And historically, we haven't seen as much flow go into the UCITS market in fixed income. But I'll give you a data point. Today, of the $1.4 trillion roughly that we have in UCITS, about 72% sits in equity. Only about 25, 26% sit in fixed income. But this year, bonds are back. A lot of investors are looking for increasing their exposure into bonds. And through the first half of this year, we actually saw inflows into fixed income ETFs become about 50% of the net inflows into the market. So 26% of assets with 50% of the flows, whereas the equity side was about 72% of the assets and about 50% of the flows. So we're seeing a lot more increased demand for fixed income. And then the third area of growth that we see driving the market is going to be around active. And we've seen a huge amount of momentum, not coming from last year, increasing this year. And I think that's going to only continue to grow.
Why do you think the ETFs are usually associated with passive investment?
I think that's been the first iteration of ETFs. And it was really, there was a feeling from some investors that they preferred to see just the passive replication of an index. Now, maybe that was because they lost a little bit of confidence on the ability for managers across the board to outperform. And so they were then looking for the straightforward index replication at a more reasonable cost. And that drove, I think, a lot of the increase in the ETF industry in the early part. And there was a bit of an adoption, to gain comfort with the wrapper itself. How does it fit within my overall systems? How do I invest in that? What's the trading like within an ETF? So that adoption piece really has already happened. And now what we're seeing is very much, I'm comfortable with the wrapper. And what else can I do with that? Now, traditionally in the asset management industry, there has been a comfort with active management, a desire for active management. So I think this next wave, and we've already seen it take off last year and this year in terms of active ETFs, but there's a comfort now with the wrapper and the ability to trade. Now it's a matter of what can go into an ETF.
What kind of investor buys ETFs, and do you think that it differs across the Atlantic?
So, I mean, all investors are buying ETFs, maybe at different rates. So we talked about the institutional investors before, wealth management fund to funds that are putting portfolios together, insurance companies, pensions, sovereign wealth funds, and central banks. They're all buyers of ETFs today, and down to individual retail investors, whether it's for your own portfolio, your children's portfolio, a savings plan, et cetera. Now, I think there's different rates of adoption across those, and we've talked a little bit about the UK. Maybe it's a bit of infrastructure, a bit of education that needs to come in order to see that take off more. There's been, I would say, an explosion of interest in the US from the retail side. Many investors like the idea of self-directing their investments. They can now get access to virtually any strategy within an ETF wrapper, and it becomes very easy and cheap for them to execute. That's really driven demand. And I think what's interesting is we tend to see a very different base of buyers into ETFs than our traditional mutual fund business, which JP Morgan is also a big player in. So I think that's quite interesting, because now investors are looking to do more with their portfolios, and they can do that and access it in different ways using, as one, ETFs.
What are some of the specific benefits that wealth managers can see from investing in ETFs? And kind of what would you say to a wealth manager that historically has preferred open-ended funds?
I think it's accessing an increasing desire for transparency and a cost benefit of gaining exposure into various asset classes, being able to maneuver those portfolios maybe more dynamically for clients as well. Those have been some of the reasons why wealth managers in the U.S. have really picked up on ETFs.
Do you think that you can find every type of exposure or investment that you can find in a traditional open-ended fund in ETFs?
Definitely not today. And if you look at the global market for managed funds, so if you include both mutual funds and ETFs, globally, that looks to be around $39 trillion today. So again, we said $11 trillion sitting in ETFs, and that's been growing at this really fast rate of 25% per annum for the last 20 years. There are a lot more, especially active options available within mutual funds today. And again, I think investors generally have preferred active exposures within their managed investments and pooled investments. That is increasing now, and we're starting to see more and more strategies be implemented in an ETF wrapper that are active, and active is in the traditional sense of wider tracking errors to the indexes that they are aligned to. That, I think, is going to be the innovation going forward.
Can you speak a bit to the development of active ETFs in the U.S. market versus the European?
So the growth rate that we've seen has really exploded this year. Last year was a big inflection point. So to put it into context, active ETFs in the U.S. make up, at the end of last year, they made up about 5% of the total assets in the ETF market. However, they took in 15% of the net flow last year. Not too dissimilar in UCITS. So we were a little bit under 1.5% of assets last year, but took in 4% of flow. So, you know, much bigger amount of flow. This year, in the first quarter in the U.S., so that number rose to about 6% of assets, but took in 33% of net flows this year. And that we've seen continue through the last couple of months as well. In UCITS, it also increased. So again, we were at about 2% to start the year, but we've taken in 6% of net flows. So it just shows that the active ability within ETFs, or the ability of ETFs to deliver active performance within that wrapper, is growing in importance. And it's not just the ETF buyers that are moving more into active strategies, but we're also seeing a preference for ETFs from traditional active users.
If an ETF and an open-ended fund had exactly the same holdings, which would be the preferred investment?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think it really comes to the investor preferences. So there are investors that prefer, and there are other institutional clients that prefer a mutual fund, various reasons. And in some ways, it might fit really well into their own infrastructure in terms of how they invest today. There are others who, again, have preferred the ETF wrapper for all the reasons that we've talked about before. That really is driving the preference. So it's not, I don't think it'll be uncommon to see both strategies in different wrappers from the same manager. It's really catering to different preferences from the end investor.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today. It was great to learn more about the UK ETF market and where it has left to go.
Great. Olivia, thanks for having me today. It's been a pleasure.